In the book of Matthew, the last words that Jesus said before he was taken up into heaven, his last words were, which should be very important to us, it says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so Jesus was saying he would remain with us, but he would remain with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So today my message is on the Holy Spirit. And it's something that for a lot of you, it's going to seem like a very basic message. I know I'm speaking to a room full of spirit-filled, born-again Christians. And so for a lot of you, this is something that has already been instilled, and that's a good thing. So it should be up to you to be telling others of what you have. But one of the words that we were given a while back in this church was to keep it simple. Sometimes we make our Christian walk very complicated. We try to look for all the things that sometimes we don't have understanding for. And it wasn't God's intention for it to be that way. He wanted us to understand what he did. And it is simple. So what I'm calling this message today is the treasure within. And that's what the Holy Spirit is to each one of us today. We have a treasure that's within us. And sometimes we as the old-timers, the ones that have been walking the walk for a long time, we get so much going on what we're doing that we forget why we fell in love with Jesus to begin with. And so to bring a message that is as basic as I hope that I present today is going to be good for all of us. And so I'm going to share a few scriptures, but they're not in any particular setting or any particular sequence. They're just going to be Holy Spirit power points. That was supposed to be a joke, but never mind. So as I share each one, it's just what God gave me for this morning. And I know that there is someone here that needs to hear what God has given me. And I trust in that. And so I'm going to start off with, as I started with the John 3:16, to just remember that God loved us to the point that he was not going to leave us just by taking Jesus up. He left us something even greater to be within us. You know, it says that when he created us, that he would walk in the cool of the day with Adam. He was able to talk with him. He was able to relate with Adam. That's what he wanted, just to be a part of his life. And we lost that. We lost that for a time. But when Jesus was taken up into heaven, we once again were given that wonderful gift to be able to come into his presence, to be able to come into the Holy of Holies because of that wonderful gift that he had made through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Week after week, we gather in this building with an expectation of experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. But this is just a building. And, you know, the idea that we're all here on a weekly basis, or sometimes some of us on a daily basis. But of course, our presence permeates the walls of this building. We are a part of all that is around us because we have given the Holy Spirit a right to be here. But the truth of the matter is that it is you that brought him here today. This building wasn't just waiting for us to, you know, and God's sitting here waiting and saying, wonder what, it's 10 o'clock, those guys aren't here yet. You brought him here. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 4, 14, 26. It says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Now that says that, you know, sometimes we come to church, and I hope not, but I think sometimes we think that we're coming here to be entertained. And the truth of the matter is that before you ever came today, all these things should have been being filled prior to you being here this day. Having church is not about Sunday morning. Having church is a daily receiving of what the Holy Spirit has for us. And when you come, and it says, we sang a hymn, but that song should be in your heart when you're at home, when you're chasing the kids, or when you're making dinner or whatever. There should be a song in your heart. There should be this gladness that you are at that point in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is with you. It's not just, you're not going to come here to meet him. You're bringing him. You're one of the ones that is going to gather together to bring a part of who he is. And so if we're not doing that, I would say get with the Holy Spirit. Devote that time in the morning or that time at night, that time while you're driving. Talk to him. Allow him to be that he wants to be in you. And he has a plan. It sounds like such a far-fetched thing. You know, you always hear the term, Jesus loves you and he has a plan for you. Sometimes it even sounds a little bit generic because that's what you hear. But you know that that's a true statement. He had a plan for your life before you ever came into this earth. It's what's going to happen is your response or lack of to that call. And when you respond in an alignment with what he had planned for your life all along, that's when we grow. That's when we see ourselves in the place that he always wanted us to be. We are fitting into that plan that he had all along. And so, each one of you, it's about a daily infilling of that Holy Spirit. So when you come here, you didn't come here only to be poured in. You came in here to pour out. And so that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And as we progress today with a message, I'll talk a little more on that. But you are to be a vessel to pour out. And as you pour out, he refills you. And more abundantly. Okay. See, I lost my notes now. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There can't be a separation. It's all one package. You know, he's a part of the Godhead. And sometimes we tend to think of the Holy Spirit as kind of like what the name implies, a spirit. And he is that. God's a spirit. But it also tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. And we are to relate to him as a person, not just some little vapor that's hanging around here or just something that we see and just in a ghostly fashion or whatever. This is a person. So imagine there is a living person inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus said that I will be with you always till the end of the age, he left himself to be within us. And how little focus we place on that sometimes. So as we receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal Christ. That's his place. He wants to reveal Christ to us. And as that knowledge deepens, we are consistently being transformed to his perfect likeness. Now that sounds pretty simple, but sometimes not. And so where I'd like to go now is to Galatians 5, 16 through 18. And I'm going to read two scriptures in conjunction with each other because they're pretty much explaining the same thing. And it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And now let's go to Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. Says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. On to the next one. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So I wanted to read these both in conjunction with each other because it is pretty much the same, giving us the same message. Paul says that he doesn't do what he wants to do, but he does what he doesn't want to do. And so this is a battle that goes on within ourselves. And I'm going to use kind of my walk as an example. So I asked them to put a scale up there, just an illustration. And this is me. Before I gave my life to Christ. And I'm sure a lot of us could relate to where this stands. But I was, as you can see here, there's a small portion of light, a small portion of darkness. I understood the darkness. And I definitely understood the light. Because I was a good guy. I love my family. I even prayed to God. I worked. So I was a good man in that sense. But then, knowingly, I would step into that darkness. And I was good with it. It was fun. And, you know, it's something that is there for all of us before we come to Christ. And the thing about it is that when you look at darkness, even though I said I stepped into it knowingly that it was wrong for me to do so, the thing about that is that the devil is there. Okay? The devil is darkness. He doesn't hide in darkness. He is darkness. And the illustration that I wanted to use is that the devil hides in that gray. And in that gray, I justified a lot of the things that I did. It was okay to do this because it wasn't hurting anybody, or it was okay to do this, it's okay to do that, because the devil was in there wanting to bring me, wanting to increase that darkness. But at the same time, God had a plan for me. Here we go. God had a plan for me. He wasn't going to let that happen. From the beginning of my coming into earth, God had something planned for me. And here I stand today, right? But that darkness was kind of a minimal thing. You know, if you see the devil with his, as they picture him with his horns and his red feet or whatever it is, you ain't going to go there. You're not going to go there. But if he kind of gets himself in those gray areas, you will go there. And so that's when you need that light. When that light gets turned on, the darkness is gone. The gray is also begins to leave. And so I know there's some of you that are finding yourself in those areas right now. Even as we sit here today, I know there's somebody that is specifically more in the gray area. Because that we can sometimes find excuses for. But I would have to say that as my life has progressed, I really don't have that little darkness anymore. That's gone. But I'm still working on the gray areas. But even that light has increased greatly. And someday, whenever that is, as they say, I'm a work in progress, someday I hope that that gray is gone, just as the darkness is, and that I am nothing but light. Because then I know that it's the Holy Spirit in me that's triumph. He will triumph. He will triumph. In us, we can do nothing, but with Him, we can do all things. He strengthens us. So, just know that if you're there right now, just give the Holy Spirit that place that He wanted all along. He doesn't want that darkness in you. And some of those things that were so hard, that I thought were so hard to get away from, I was afraid. That was one of my issues with coming to Christ. It means I got to give up this and give up that and give up this. And so it tends to get, you know, the devil gets it in your head, because of course that's the only pathway he has. He has no pathway here. But it gets in your head where you say, you don't want to give that up. That's some pretty fun stuff. Come on, hang out here. So you hang out in the gray. It's, that ain't so bad. We stay there. But one of my biggest fears was that I would have to change, that I would have to give up those things that I was doing. But as I look back, I don't ever remember actually having to say, well, today I'm going to give up X. All of a sudden I'm looking back, it's gone. I never missed it. It just happened. No more desire for that. And it's not like I tried so hard to get rid of it. It just happened. I allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way with me, not even knowing that that's what I was doing. So as we continue, I must decrease so that he can increase. And that's what I hope we're all going for. Let him increase in you. Let's go to Acts 1, 4 through 8. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, okay, that's good enough. Promised them that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, first off with that, what I wanted to look at is that Jesus told his disciples to go wait. And I've always found that as kind of, you know, an issue with some of us sometimes. It's hard for us to wait. But the Holy Spirit, when he came, was going to be this wonderful gift. And so sometimes when God is doing something that is going to be wonderful, we're asked to wait. And so if God has you today in a waiting time, just praise him for that. Because it's coming. It's coming. It's going to be there. And it's going to be more wonderful than you ever expected. And so then the next thing that he says on there is that we would be baptized. And he says that we would receive power. Okay, now, these men that were there with Jesus, they knew Jesus, they loved him, and they were equipped to receive all that Jesus had for them through the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we see that right after that, we see the spectacular event after the Holy Spirit did come on him. We see that spectacular event of Pentecost. And that's when, you know, tongues of fire and people prophesying, people just, you know, it was a spectacular time to witness. But what I wanted us to look at, that even though that event was kind of like the highlight to a new church being born, what I wanted us to see was that to look at Peter, because the next thing that it says from that time on, it says, then Peter stood up. And here's a guy that was hiding and rejecting, knowing Jesus, and you know, sometimes his temper was not so great. You know, just if you really want to look at Peter, he's probably about at least 50% of you guys, you know. And but at the same time, when that Spirit came upon them and equipped them, that man became a new man. That man had boldness. That man had a confidence about him. And what does it say? That he stood out right away and he started preaching. A new preacher was born. And says that at that time that there was 3,000 more converts added to the church that day. Well, just a few days earlier, it's hard to imagine Peter being able to be a part of that. So that wasn't Peter the man. That was Peter with the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, lives get changed. And our lives will get changed if we allow Him to move in us. The rest of the disciples went in the same way, and as we can see in the New Testament, they all went and also were equipped and spoke the word and wrote some books. And that's all after that wonderful time of receiving the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 2, 14 through 18. Says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, as it states here, that was prophesied by Joel many, many years prior to this event. And so as we look at the event of the Holy Spirit coming at that time, it says the last days. Well, maybe the world should have ended right after that, huh? No, we are in the last days today. The last days will continue until that rapture comes. So, if we're in the last days, would He not still be pouring out His Spirit? Yes. And He wants to do that. He's doing that right now. He's pouring out His Spirit upon His people of His church, and not just this body, throughout our nation. He wants to pour out His Spirit. He's not done with His church. And I want to use an example of His Spirit being poured out. Just about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, this church had a men's retreat. And there was about, 20 people, maybe a little more than 20 people, 20 men that attended this meeting. And I could say that, including myself and Pastor Henry and some others, there was just an excitement about us being able to put this thing together. We were all looking forward to this time and just having a good time with God and with the men of this church. And as it turned out, it was definitely a success. But the point I want to make is that as we were in this church prior to that men's retreat, there were some men here that were very quiet, were very loving, but were just going about their business, enjoying the presence of God. But during that men's retreat, we were supposed to play horseshoes and just kind of have a great time. We never did that. We were too busy just loving God, being ministered to, hearing the preaching, having the beautiful worship music. It was all about God. And we could see the pouring of the Spirit. There were people that were prophesying. There were people that were praying in tongues. There were people that were accepting and understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all that God had for us. And the point I'm trying to make is that when we came back from that men's retreat, this church has never been the same. Our men, yes, please. The men that went to that are not the same men that started off that day. There is a power. There is, as we see Peter here, there is a boldness. There are people speaking that you would have never heard their voice. And I just want to see that to just overtake this entire church body. Women of this church, you're going to have a women's retreat soon. Let that be your goal. Let the Holy Spirit just have his way with you. Let him fill you. Let him bless you. And all I can say is that for right now, thank God that these men that went to that retreat, there was a spirit of expectation. They were expecting God to do something in their lives, and he did. And that's something that we have to remember. If we come with an open heart, an expectant heart, a heart that says, I want to experience your presence, Lord. We're not here to just say hello to our neighbor. We are here for him. We are here to worship and praise him. We are here to experience the presence that is already within us, that he stirs our hearts, that he loves us through his Spirit. And I'll tell you what, if we come to this place and we're not receiving that, we might as well not do this. So please, always come with that expectant heart. Oh, the other word that I wrote down on my notes is that word that God gave me is that, you know, we've seen things happen in churches. I've been walking this walk for a while, but I believe that today, the word that God gave me is acceleration. He is going to be doing things quickly. Now, it isn't going to be, well, let's see what happens next year. The word is acceleration. He's going to do his will in an accelerated place. And so be prepared. And don't be surprised when you find yourself looking back and saying, how did that happen? What am I doing here? Just like I'm doing right now. What am I doing here? Okay. All right. I got a couple more verses that I want to share. Let's go with Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, I thought that verse would be important, because I know sometimes we find ourselves, we're just tired. We feel weak. We've said every prayer that we could think of, and there just seems to be that we're just exhausted from what's going on in our lives. And isn't it great to think that there is a spirit within us that never gets tired. There's another scripture that says, pray without ceasing. I always wondered, I said, God, how am I going to do that? You know, I gotta take a break here and there. You know, I can't pray with it. But I believe that's what it means. The spirit within us never stops praying, never stops communicating with the Father. And as it says in that scripture, he prays in the way that the Father wants to hear the prayer. This is God's will for us. And so when that prayer comes forth, we don't even know what's being prayed for, but he does. And so it's just to know that he doesn't want for us to be tired or weak, because he's gonna have your back in every part of you. And the other thing that this thing speaks to is that it says with groans. Sometimes things are so deep within us that we don't even know what we're dealing with. The depth that the Holy Spirit reaches in is only something that he understands. And sometimes all we may have is just a groan. There's something inside of us and you're going, Lord, what do I do? Where do I go? But he knows. And so as these things take place within you, he doesn't want to be, it's like we invited him and we invited the Holy Spirit and he says that we're his dwelling. So he comes into our house and we say, okay, have a seat here in my living room. I just cleaned it yesterday. But here's all these other rooms that we've locked. I said, don't go in there. Too dirty. You know? Don't go in there. I don't want you to see what's in there. And that's what he wants to expose. All the dirty junk that we've hidden in those rooms. And so when he reaches deep inside, he's going to open those doors to those rooms that we don't want to look at. And we're going to have to deal with it. But guess what? He's with us. And he's not going to let us deal with it on our own. And so, don't keep him in your living room. Invite him. Tell him, the house is open. That's what he wants. Open your house. Open your heart. Okay. Let's go to Luke 8, 27 and 29. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. And for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." And we'll stop there. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because how many times do we allow the devil to beat us up? And we're saying, it's just too much, can't handle it, whatever. Don't we have the Spirit of Jesus in us? And that scripture up there says that when they saw Jesus walking towards them, the fear wasn't in Jesus afraid of the demons. The fear was of the demons afraid of Jesus. And when you walk up wherever you may be, that's the way that oppression, or if you want to say the devil, whatever it is, that's the way you should be looked at. That same spirit that those demons shriek about is inside you. That same Jesus that they saw is inside you. That authority to tell these things to stay out of your life is yours. And yet we just accept sometimes that, that's the way it is. Devil's just having a fun day with me, you know. And we should not go there.
That's right.
Amen. And so I just urge you to remember that whatever you deal with, not just in a case like this, but whatever it is that you're dealing with, that you have the Spirit of Jesus within you. And all that he was, all that he is all that you are and can be. And I mentioned earlier about just the phrase about that Jesus had a plan. And I want to kind of bring that up again. Because, again, that plan is there, but he needs your yes. He needs your yes to be able to carry out that plan for your life. And our place is to just say yes and fall into that alignment that is in his will. And it has been his will all along. And so, as I said earlier, we have a treasure within. And that is what the title of my sermon is, by the way, The Treasure Within. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like for each one of you to turn to the person on your left and you tell that person, you have a treasure within. Now turn to your right and do the same thing. You have a treasure within. Amen. Amen. Now there's a beautiful song that was titled, and some of you probably heard it. It was titled, Come Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you remember that. But it came to my mind that, you know, I used to sing it a lot. And I thought about it later. If each of us has accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's not really a kind of a song to sing, is it? Come, Holy Spirit. He's already there. Okay? And so, beautiful song. But it's not come, Holy Spirit. It's just to embrace what is already there. And the word makes a reference to be filled with the Spirit. And so that is more what I want us to focus on, is that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And as I said earlier, as we pour out to others, he refills us. He continues to bless us and is usually with more abundance than what we poured out. And to know that, you know, if we're trying to do things under our own power, it ain't going to happen. But if we continue to let ourselves be filled by the Spirit, we continue to say, and not hold it, you know, because we could be very comfortable and nice and chunky and fat with the Holy Spirit inside of us. And it's good. It's good to like be in that place where he's the comforter and he's the peace and all the wonderful names that come with the Holy Spirit. It's a good place to be. But that's not the only place to be. He wants to be that ignition to the church. He wants to ignite each one of you. He wants to show that power that came upon the people at Pentecost. He wants to show it through each one of us. So it's good to see him in both ways. He's all things to us. And so to remember that there's always more that he has for us, because I guess we leak a little bit now and then. And so he refills us. So I think what I'd like to do is I am going to say a prayer right now. And after I pray, I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up and sing another song for us. And during that song, what I would like each one of you to do is to please stand when the worship team comes up, or I have to stand now, and something is here for you today, either just to be filled with whatever he has. Are you in that gray area that I was talking about? Are you even in the dark area that I was talking about? Where are you today, and what is it that the Holy Spirit can do for you? And so what I want us to do is just, this is a time to receive. And just as I said earlier, we all come to give, but there is a time to receive. And where he wants to fill us, where he wants to just love us, where he wants to bless whatever it is that you're going through. So this is that time. As that song plays, I ask that you would just allow him to minister to you in whatever capacity he wishes to do so. Open your hearts.